Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear again these words from Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 or 23. They are identical. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." God's word to us today. You may be seated. Many of you have experienced the moment that I'm about to share with you from one end of the aisle or the other. I remember that moment for me. It was 10 years ago. I was standing alongside some of my best friends, my brother. The congregation was filled with friends and relatives who were there and prepared to rejoice. Then the procession began, and one by one, my friends left me to collect their various maids or matrons of honor and to assemble in front of the altar. And finally, after the ring bearer, the flower girl came up the aisle, there were only two people left to make the procession. My soon-to-be wife and her father. And I remember Megan walking down the aisle with her dad, Steve, and it hit me in that moment. This is a big deal. I'm going to be committing myself to this woman for the rest of my life. And in that moment, I experienced perhaps a little bit of what the women experienced who went to the tomb on the Easter morning and heard that message from the angel. He is risen. He is not here, just as he told you. Go and see the place where he lay. We're told that the women left the tomb afraid, yet filled with joy. I think I felt a little bit of that. Certainly joy, because I was going to be spending my life with the one I loved. And yet, a little bit of fear, too, because a lifetime's a long time to make a commitment. Can I pull it off? Can I be faithful? I love the fact that we've come to the virtue of faithfulness on this particular weekend as we celebrate All Saints. We remember the legacy of those who have gone before us in the faith. We give thanks to God for them who have gone before us, following Christ's admonition, the one that we heard in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Be faithful, even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Hebrews chapter 12 says that we are indeed surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, those who have finished their race in faith, as we also run with perseverance the race marked out for us. They trusted in Christ. They lived in his forgiveness. And in ways great and small, they reflected his love to others, even to us. We don't count them as saints because they were perfect in this life. If that were the case, nobody except for Jesus would make the cut. They were saints because they believed in Jesus. They trusted in him. They were joined to him through baptism and faith. And God, through his merciful grace and by the power of his Spirit, kept them in the true faith through the message of the gospel. Guess what? The same is true of you. You also are saints. Not because you're perfect, but because you live joined to Jesus through baptism and faith. And the Holy Spirit works through that message of the gospel to keep you also in the one true faith. And so God is not ashamed to call you his sons, his daughters, his chosen ones, his holy ones, his saints. And to those he has called to be saints, God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who works his fruit in our lives. And especially today, as we think of that fruit that helps us in our relationship with Christ, that marriage-style fruit of faithfulness. The Bible talks about our relationship with Jesus being a marriage. In fact, it is the marriage, the one of which all of our earthly attempts are simply a copy. That's the relationship that God has established. It's the marriage between Christ and his bride, the church. And then he calls his bride to be faithful. faithful to Jesus. Faithful at all times, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. With the promise that death will not part Jesus and his bride. Faithfulness, a consistent loyalty and integrity established and exercised over time. That's what God requires of us, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength at all times, day after day, year after year, decade after decade. When you hear that, your mind might go to the same place mine did on my wedding day. On one hand, that's exciting that we will share life forever with the Savior, Jesus, in that world that has no end, in that joy that has no end. And at the same time, there's a little bit of fear. How can we possibly pull this off? To be faithful always. Well, in and of ourselves, we know the answer. We would never be able to do it. We'd never be able to remain faithful on our own. The scriptures are clear that from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve, our hearts are prone to infidelity. God calls us into a relationship with himself, a relationship that is wholesome and beautiful and good and filled with truth. He faithfully keeps his promises to us to protect and nurture us, to be present with us always. And yet, we are so often tempted to be distracted from faithfulness to him. We're tempted to chase after things and relationships which offer short-term excitement and pleasure, a quick payoff. And we lose track of the true long-term joy of placing our hope and our trust in God alone, remaining loyal and faithful to him. Feels good sometimes to do our own thing, to go our own way. It feels good at times to live for myself and for my pleasure. Feels good to get that immediate payoff of other people's acceptance and approval, even though that acceptance and approval at times comes at the expense of being faithful to God. And yet, like the spouse who has entertained an illicit relationship, our consciences can't get away from that accusation that in the moment we are betraying even our first love. Infidelity. It's been the story for us since Genesis chapter 3, ever since Adam and Eve made that first act and ate that fruit that God told them not to eat. The scriptures paint the picture of infidelity at work in our lives. But it's not infidelity in two directions. It's only infidelity in one direction, us toward God. The amazing picture of the scriptures is that despite our actions, God, from beginning to end, is never unfaithful. Always faithful to you. Always faithful to his promises. The scriptures paint an amazing picture of a God who, despite us, is fiercely loyal to us and to his promises. Whoever's controlling the screens, if you could go to the next slide, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you very much. This is what St. Paul writes about God and his character toward us. He says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Then get this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You see, something's going on here. Paul says, it is God's undeniable character, despite our faithlessness, to remain faithful to his people and to his promises, no matter what. You see, this is incredibly good news. Incredibly good news for you and for me. His promise to love you does not shift because you inconsistently love him. His promise to be present with you and to receive you as his sons and his daughters and to call you his children, that promise that he made to you in your baptism, doesn't shift or waver because sometimes we act in ways that are inconsistent with the way children of God ought to act. His promise to forgive your sin for Jesus' sake doesn't shift or waver because you sin. In fact, that promise exists for precisely those moments when you do fail, so that you might be comforted and restored by the gracious love and mercy of God. He is faithful all the time. We hear this word in 1 John chapter 1, where John writes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our God is faithful. Faithfulness is central to the character of God, and he displays it fully in the person of his Son. He is faithful to you. And his faithful love for us is what actually inspires and empowers faithfulness in us. Faithfulness to him. Faithfulness in our relationships with one another. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, of saints who have gone before us and fixed their eyes on Jesus, we also run with perseverance that race, fixing our eyes not on ourselves, not on our circumstances, certainly not on what's going to happen this week in the election. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We focus on his faithful love, on his unwavering commitment to his bride, the church, a love and commitment that would inspire him to joyfully lay down everything, even his own life, in order that we might belong to him. And just as Jesus' faithfulness to us is not static, it's not just kind of sitting still, but it's active and on the move for us and for our good, so his love inspires in us a faithfulness that is actively engaged in good, something that gives glory to God and displays love to one another. We see this modeled, of course, in marriage. It's not simply enough for me to say to my wife, Megan, I love you and I'll let you know if things change. Faithfulness requires activity. The daily service that we provide for one another. The daily comfort that we give one another. The notes at times, which I'm not very good at, and I apologize for that. The flowers that we give, the little gestures of kindness, those are the things that mark out faithfulness exercised regularly over time. Jesus gives an example of this in Matthew chapter 25 when he tells that parable of those entrusted with talents. He gives to his servants, to his slaves, varying degrees of gifts. To one, he gives 5 talents of money, which is a large sum. To one, he gives 2 talents. To one, he gives 1. So you see the display of gifts and how they're given by the master varies according to each servant's ability and their temperament. Each servant has a charge, has a responsibility to faithfully and actively use what they've received, what's been entrusted to them. And so the first 2 servants go out and do that. The one who has 5 talents goes out and diligently works and makes 5 more. The one who has 2 talents goes out and works diligently and makes 2 more. You see that the gifts are not equal. God gives to different people different gifts, and so it is in our lives. Not everybody has the same gift. Some people have the gift of teaching. Some people have the gift of leadership. Some people have the gift of working with their hands. Some people have the gift of comforting other people when they feel bad, when they need to be uplifted. Some people have the gift of moving tables with a spirit of joy. Some people have musical gifts. All sorts of gifts are given, and they're not the same. But the admonition is the same. Put them to use. St. Peter will say, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Whatever that gift may be, as stewards of God's very grace, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So these servants in the story put their gifts to use. At least the first 2 do. And even though the gifts are different, even though the amounts are different, the commendation is the same. We see it on the screen. His master said to them, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." The gifts are different. The call is the same, to put them to use for the glory of God and for the good of one another. And with God at work in our lives, and with our eyes fixed on Jesus, faithfulness becomes a reality for us. God's faithfulness to us elicits in us the response of faithfulness to him and to others. I was blessed to see this at my previous congregation in 2 distinct families and with 2 distinct gentlemen. They both received the gift, the trust of a marriage. They were married faithfully for many, many years. And in both cases, God entrusted to these men the responsibility of caring for their wives at the end of their lives as both of them suffered with dementia, the wives did. The first man, Al, had his wife put into a nursing home because he was unable to give her the care that she needed by himself at home. And then he proceeded to be with her in the nursing home for 8 hours a day, for years, for the rest of her life, as his wife slowly gave in to that disease of dementia. He would sit with her and read with her and talk to her day after day, week after week, year after year. When she was unable to feed herself because her motor skills stopped working, he would spoon feed her 3 meals a day. It was amazing to see until the day that the Lord called her home. There's another gentleman named Don who continues to care for his wife who has also entered into the advanced stages of dementia. She's able to stay at home and he cares for her and provides for her and feeds her her meals and cleans up her accidents and loves her and cuddles with her on the love seat for several hours a day. And he would wander into the church office fairly frequently throughout the course of the week and tell me about what was going on at home. He would frequently say it was kind of like caring for a 3-year-old all over again. And sometimes it would be frustrating. But he'd also say to me, you know, I would have it no other way. This wife had been faithful to him for over 50 years. He said, how could I do anything else? This is what God gives me to do and I love it. I love her. You see, he didn't have to care for his wife. He got to care for his wife. Inspired not by duty, but by great love. And so it is. God's faithfulness to us and the faithfulness that he inspires in us because we place our trust in him. The faithfulness that we can offer and give to one another because we have been promised by him that he is faithful and true to us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He inspires and creates in us love for others because of his great love and faithfulness to us. You see, our God is faithful. He is faithful to you and to me. He is loyal and unwavering in his commitment to us, not because he owes us anything, not out of a sense of duty, but because he loves you. I pray that your hearts today would be captured by his faithful love, a love that will not quit, so that you also might have a heart that is inspired to be faithful, faithful to him, faithful to one another. That's the calling, and that's the beautiful picture of the bride of Christ. In his name, amen.